world tomorrow. Garner Ted Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
I was asked, are we living in the close of an age? Do I believe in an apocalyptic religion? Do I believe we are living in the time of the end? I almost thought maybe I'd better paint a sign on my back, flee from the wrath to come, get out a cup, wear some dark glasses, get me a gnarled old cane, dress up in a white robe and open-toed sandals, and go down to the nearest park somewhere and see if I couldn't drum up some business. It was a newspaper man who asked me this. Jesus had his problems with the press. That's why he said what he did about the scribes of his day. He said over and over again, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because he said, you compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when you get him, you make him more a twofold child of the grave, hell, the Bible says, but if you check the original, it means the grave, then you are yourselves. He had quite a bit to say about people in that day and age who guided the public mind of a basically illiterate and irreligious society. You know, today people have so many glandular, emotional ideas about religion. In the first place, in the Western world of Christianity, so-called, the mainstream of Judeo-Christian ethic, there are more than 400 different denominations, organizations, churches, sects, cults, call them what you will, but more than 400 different organizations. So if somebody came along and asked the same question today that the Apostle Paul asked back during his day, he said, is Christ divided? People have to look around and say, oh, sure, yeah, in about 400 different small pieces. Well, is this true that Christ is divided? The Bible says there is one Lord. It says there is one way. People call themselves the Jesus people. People talk about the Jesus trip. They talk about one way. Jesus Christ. So a great thing that is happening today is people talking about Jesus. I was asked by a newspaper reporter, do you say we're living in the close of an age? I gave him what Christ said as an answer. Jesus said, and this is in Matthew 24 in your Bible, that one of the signposts along the way to indicate very strongly we are living in the close of an age and the dawning of a new age, and I don't mean the age of Aquarius, would be the fact number one, that there would be a tremendous amount of preaching and teaching that Jesus is the Christ. That is one of the phenomena of our day. Now, I don't have to go just to the Bible alone to know that I'm living in a very climactic, very dangerous age, a time when if the world does not go through a completely different phase, where the total erosion and disintegration of past institutions, ideals, societies, and various codes, mores, and ethics of man, not of God, but of man, if this does not erode away, and if a new world does not emerge, then I would have to agree with Sir Bertrand Russell. You see, if I were an atheist, an agnostic, a skeptic, or even if I were the person who claimed to believe in God like a divinized father figure, an old uncle with a watch fob, and a slightly protruding belly, a gray-haired man floating around on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, touching with his finger Adam and giving him life, if I had one of these traditional concepts of God, which I do not, I still may be of the bent or the notion that mankind is absolutely doomed, that there is no hope, no chance for human survival. I would look at all the wars of history. I would ask someone, can you point out to me which war it was that brought an end to all wars? And, of course, they wouldn't be able to do it because mankind is still proving that he is just as willing to pick up a bottle, a rock, a brick, a cudgel, a bludgeon, a club, a knife, or a gun and go at it with his fellow man over the disagreement over anything. It can be like some deer hunters in California. Both got to the same parking spot along a narrow mountain road and one of them whipped out a gun. They all four were armed. They were going after deer, presumably, but one of them got shot. He survived, thankfully. Of course, in Ireland, Northern Ireland, Ulster, you see the spectacle of Protestants and Catholics going at it. People say, well, that's not a religious battle. It isn't? Then why are they drawing the religious lines? Why make a difference? What difference does it make what church they go to if it's a purely political consideration about whether or not it ought to be a free state or be a part of the British Commonwealth or Great Britain, as it's called, or whether a part of Ireland or what? Political considerations aside, man has proved he has not come very far. along his search toward world peace. I don't have to look at the Bible and come up with some obscure scripture in some obscure, long-forgotten book like Zechariah, or maybe Azariah, you know where that one is? Try to look that one up someday. And I want to talk about that a little later on, about what people think they know about the Bible and don't really. But I wouldn't need to look up some obscure scripture in the Bible. I can believe what science tells me. I can take the projections, the past curves on the population explosion, and wade right out into the future and know that humankind simply cannot survive without some international conflicts of such giant proportions it will take the lives of millions, tens of millions of human beings between now and the early 2000s. The crush of too many people decrees that this is so. That isn't Armstrongism. You can read books by the score that talk about global environmental intrusions because of our tremendous technocracy. The pollution problem, in other words. The impending food wars as a result of overpopulation. The old adage, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. In other words, the disparity between the so-called have, or the affluent nations, and the have-not, or the unaffluent, or as they like to call them today, developing nations. And many of them aren't developing. International conflicts are growing. We have a new kind of colonialism now. It's economic colonialism. Overkill, technology has advanced to where we know now that some of our problems are global in consequence, and one of them is a stockpiling of atomic and hydrogen weapons, tactical weapons, weapons that can be delivered from Polaris and underseas, IRBMs, ICBMs, and so on, the multi-megaton warheads on giant ballistic missiles, and now we have overkill to where we have enough explosive power to annihilate, if you could stretch that out and you could see 50 of them, 50 worlds like ours full of human beings. Now, people ask me a question, well, do you then believe in an apocalyptic religion, Armstrong? Is that what you believe? I tell them, it doesn't matter what I believe. I could believe the moon is green Swiss cheese and be preaching it to people. Some people think the world is flat. I think they said we better take another look at it after the picture came back, and maybe they're still looking, I don't know. But it doesn't matter what I believe. What I believe is completely unimportant to anybody except me. If I tell you one thing that you can't prove, that you can't test, that you can't demonstrate to yourself, then you're making a tremendous mistake of trying to put your faith in some human being who is just as mistake-ridden, and maybe more so, than you are, who has just as many personal problems, and maybe more so, as you do, who couldn't help you with anything except maybe across the street or moving furniture or lifting a weight or doing something simple like any human task that can be accomplished. You can discover the same things I can discover, and I have no corner on the market. The Bible is an open book. I didn't write it. I'm not responsible for it, except that I'm responsible to believe what it says and to prove what it says because the Bible tells me so. You know, like the little childhood Betty Bye song that we used to sing. Here's the point. Jesus said, and I quote his words, not mine, his, when his disciples asked him, tell us, when shall these things be? Cataclysmic events he described, Jerusalem tumbling to the ground to the point there wouldn't be one stone left atop another one, and that hasn't even happened yet. He said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ. That's a phenomenon of our time. Many. I mean practically everybody anymore, out on the streets and the highways and the byways, giant, tremendous rallies in huge sports palaces, outdoor arenas and so on. Thousands, tens of thousands of people listening to prayers, having get-togethers where presumably they're looking into the Bible, hopefully. And yet, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a moment, he said, and I add one word that we didn't add earlier, he said, take heed that no man deceive you, because many are going to come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ. And, he said, shall deceive many. How is that possible? How can you tell a story about Jesus? Get people to have an emotional experience in their minds and hearts. Get them to want to change their lives, to accept Christ as their Savior, and still deceive them. It's simple. There's an easy way to do it. I'm going to tell you exactly what that is.
The Ambassador College publication, What is the True Gospel?, addresses one of the most divisive questions of our time. We live in a world of many different religions.
While teaching peace and harmony among men, their people are led to war against one another. Witness the long-standing Hindu-Muslim conflict, the Jew-Arab crisis, and the Protestant-Catholic confrontation in Northern Ireland, all believing they have the true religion. Ironic, isn't it? With over 400 denominations in the Western Christian world, haven't you ever wondered which one is right? Who teaches what Jesus taught? This free booklet helps you understand that message in the light of today's world. What is the true gospel? Your copy is free. There's no charge or follow-up. What is the true gospel? Dial this toll-free number, 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444.
Jesus said or asked, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's Luke 6:46, if you'd like to look it up. Why do you call me Lord? Why do you acknowledge I'm the Savior, I'm the Christ, and do not the things which I say? We could take a little test right now. We could ask ourselves, do people do what Jesus said to do? Oh, I know that millions of people believe on him. I can show you in the Bible where people believed on him before he got through with the part of one message, and by the time he carried a little further and told them what kinds of characters they were, they hated his guts to the point they wanted to kill him on the spot and tried. Yet at the beginning of that same discussion, they believed on him. He said to his true disciples, "If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you." He said, "In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." He said, "Yes, the time will come when they will kill you and think they do me a service." He said, "Think not I am come to bring peace on earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword." He said, "I came not to bring peace, but rather division." That's in Mark's version or account of the very same thing, which he said on two occasions. So here's the point. Jesus said one of the signposts along the way that would indicate we're living in a time of the end would be, you would hear of many saying he is the Christ and still deceiving many. And that is the message that goes out today. Jesus is Lord. What does that message consist of? Well, let me try to be objective and as honest as I can, because I honestly think that I understand, let's see if I do, that Jesus lived. I don't think they get into whether he necessarily was born of a virgin or not. I don't think that necessarily enters into it when they're talking about the need for people to accept Christ, receive Christ, come to Christ, get into the thing of Jesus, get a Jesus consciousness. They do talk about the fact that he died. They talk about the fact of why he died. And they say he died to save sinners. Well, the Bible says that we are saved by his life. So there's a slight inaccuracy there, maybe. But he did die to save sinners, but the only way he can save sinners is that in that he died, he also was raised from the dead. Jesus loves you, they say. That's true. It's the truth. But I've got a couple of questions I want to ask about that. They say that he is your Savior. And just about this time, I think in most people's minds, it all gets a little vague. How can one life be given in sacrifice for all these other lives? Is that explained? Who and what was Jesus prior to the time of his physical human birth? Was there another member of the Godhead? That needs to be explained. If there is a Trinity, and if the third person, a member, like a being that is somewhere in heaven, is called the Holy Spirit, like the Bible says, the Holy Ghost, but the word ghost comes from a Greek word pneuma that really does mean spirit. And they believed in ghosts back in, I suppose some people still do. The Bible reveals that there are spirits, but it hardly reveals ghosts per se. But back in 1611, at the time that translation was made, that's what they believed. But if this is true, then why did Jesus pray to his Father in heaven? Why, right in the book of Matthew, in the first chapter, when it talks about Jesus was begotten of the Holy Spirit, it says, Mary was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, says, when you pray, not if, but when, pray in this manner, Our Father, which art in heaven. He prayed to his Father. Well, and who was his Father? Isn't that a little confusing? If he was begotten of the Holy Spirit, well, the Holy Spirit is a person, isn't it? No, the Bible doesn't say that, but people think it is. Not my fault, I didn't put it there. It's not my fault that that became a tradition. The word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible.
But the word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible. The words, when you go to heaven, don't appear in the Bible. The words, immortal soul, don't appear in the Bible. It's not my fault. But I intend to explain that and expose that and get people to think about it as much as I possibly can, as much as lies within me. So, take a look at what Jesus actually said, as opposed to what is said that he said. Jesus Christ of Nazareth said it was possible to preach and teach all day long about him, about what a wonderful person he was, about his personality, about his being the Christ, and still deceive many. So I have to ask this of the youth, especially today. There is so much in society the youth says is worth rejecting. There's the generation gap and the credibility gap. There's global pollution and local pollution. There's crime, hypocrisy, and the establishment. There's racism, poor education, corruption in government and everywhere else you look, divorce and perversion. There is so much to reject. So many of the youth did so. Now, I know that I'm not characterizing the entire, quote, Jesus people movement, end quote, or anything of the kind. I don't intend to, because I am generalizing about youth in general at the present time, who went all the way to one opposite extreme of dropping out and turning on with drugs by the millions. Now there is a movement in the opposite direction, having rejected the establishment, having rejected the traditional mores and principles, philosophies, and theories of the establishment, and finding so much about the establishment that needs rejection, many of these same young people turn right around and latched onto the establishment Jesus. The historical hoax who never lived. The long-haired, effeminate, aquiline nose, petulant lips, soft-voiced person who never slept indoors, who was the first hippie, the vagabond, with no money and no place to go, who had a lot of nice thoughts and who was murdered for his pains. That Jesus never walked the earth. He never lived. But the Jesus Christ of the Bible did. So I have to ask, if they're accepting Jesus and talking about Jesus, there are two points that might be of concern. One, which Jesus? The Apostle Paul said, he that comes preaches another Jesus. And he said, if you receive another gospel, this was to the Galatian churches, three of them, Iconium, it was called, Lystra and Derbe, three churches in the area of southern Galatia, which would be a province or a portion of modern-day Turkey. And he said to them, if he that cometh preaches another Jesus than that which you have received, and so on. He talked about another Jesus, a false Christ, a different concept of Christ. The Bible warns about that. So I have to ask, if they are accepting Jesus and they're saying, turn on with Jesus, I say, which one? A long-haired vagabond? Well, that's the traditional historical hoax. That's the pusillanimous pansy, as I've said. A completely false Christ that never lived. Are they talking about the Jesus of the Jewish persecutions? The Christ of the Crusades, where people were taking big two-handed, two-edged swords and hacking people through the collarbone and splitting them like a ripe banana and doing it all in the name of Jesus? Is it the Jesus that was appealed to by mothers on both sides of World War II to save my boy, make his eye quicker and his aim better than the other guy, and they both went to the same church? Is it that Jesus? He must have been a little befuddled and confused by that type of prayer. Especially since he said, even if you have hatred in your heart, you're as bad as a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But then, why should we bother talking about the Bible at a time like this? People haven't, historically, very much. Is it the sick, effeminate, long-haired vagabond that people picture and even print on t-shirts and stand around in grubby shirts on the roadside saying they're going to San Jose or someplace? As the song goes, that Jesus, I say, never lived. Now, what else might be of concern is the second point here. The first point is that millions have the wrong Christ. And the second point is that even if they have the right Jesus, then the right Jesus says in Matthew 24, many shall come in my name, saying I'm the Christ, and shall deceive many. So even if they're talking about the real Jesus, the right one, and saying he is the Christ, they can still be deceived, and they can be in the process of deceiving.
Radio news, papers, magazine,
television,
all report the news. But who really explains it?
Editorial,
documentary,
opinion,
survey indicate trends. But who ties them all together? Plain Truth, the journal of understanding.
Overview,
supplement,
insight.
Plain Truth explains the news. Plain Truth ties trends together. Articles include Personal from the Editor, featuring Herbert W. Armstrong's first-person contact with heads of state around the world. Garner Ted Armstrong's Speaks Out column. bureau reports, editorial insight, and much more. If you've been looking for an explanation of the news, if you've been trying to tie trends together, request your free subscription to Plain Truth. Join the ranks of over 3 million subscribers who look to Plain Truth for understanding.
Overview.
Supplement. Insight.
Dial this toll-free number, 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444.
I want to show you a little bit from the book of Matthew, just a simple statement or two here in the 8th chapter in just a moment about the real Jesus, what he was like, what he did, what he said. But first, the most important point, even if the right Jesus were being preached and taught, Christ himself said, and I again quote his words, not mine, Matthew 24 and verse 5, many shall come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, not that they are the Christ, but that he, Jesus, is the Christ. They can say either one, but even that he is the Christ and shall deceive many. How? Just this simply. He said in Luke 6:46, and I've already quoted it, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I think of the scripture. Let me just turn to that right quickly. In the book of Matthew, well, I can turn back to the book of John as well. He said here, let's just ask one simple question of the Jesus Christ of the Bible, Matthew 19, verse 17, and you answer for the whole nation. Maybe not yourself if you don't want to, but for the nation, your friends, your relatives, peoples, the whole world for that matter. He said to a young man who asked him, what may I do that I can have eternal life? What's the way to be saved? How do you do it? How do you get eternal life? He said in verse 17 of Matthew 19, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, which? He said, you shall do no murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Which ones was he talking about? But the Ten Commandments that are found in two places codified in your Bible, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. So he defined the Ten Commandments and he said, this do, keep the commandments. Do people do it? They don't. Why not? Jesus said to. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why don't people do what Jesus said? Over in the book of Mark, chapter 7 and verse 7, he said, and I quote, albeit in vain do they worship me. Now let's think about that for a moment. In vain do they worship. What's worship? Well, that goes beyond just mere love. That's adulation. That's adoration. That is virtually prostrating oneself in a position of worship. That goes beyond just mere affection. That is total dedication. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now you have on the one side commandments of men, and on the other hand, commandments of God. Which are we to choose? Jesus said, keep the commandments. People don't keep them. The simplest statements in the Sermon on the Mount are ignored. The simplest teachings of Jesus, when he was about to be put to death, that last supper you hear about, he rose. He did something strange that people don't do today, in general. Let's just ask, do you do it? He said, this do in remembrance of me. Okay, he rose, he broke bread, he asked God to bless it, he handed it to his disciples, he said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Clear over in the writings of the Apostle Paul, much later, years and years later, in the book of 1 Corinthians, I'm not going to have time to finish that, am I? Well, I'll hustle to 1 Corinthians 11 right quickly and read just one section. It said, in that same night, Jesus took bread, and when he had broke it, he gave thanks. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, look it up if you get a chance. This do in remembrance of me. Do you believe in Jesus? Are you a Christian person? Do you go to church? Do you do that? He said, this do in remembrance of me. Paul repeated it, this do in remembrance of me. Do you do it? Well, maybe that will answer the part of the question. There's a great deal more. I want to cover so much about the real gospel, the real Jesus Christ, and what he said were the signposts along the way prior to the close of an age. But I'll come back with another 30 minutes next time. But write for this booklet entitled, The Real Jesus. The Real Jesus booklet goes into the question of what Jesus looked like, whether or not he had long hair. What were his personal tastes, likes, dislikes, and habits? Did he live in a home, or did he always camp out of doors? Was he a vagabond and the world's first hippie? Or did he dress rather neatly, and was he clean? Did Jesus break a law? when he cast those people out of the temple. That's in this booklet too. The real Jesus. What was he like? Was he an average Jew of his day? What tribe was he? What color was he? And everything is all here in this one booklet. It's a very controversial booklet, a much-needed booklet, in this day and age when Christ himself said the one major message you would be hearing about him is merely the story that he is the Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, and he said, even preaching that message, they shall deceive many. So that booklet, The Real Jesus, is free of charge. The booklet, The Real Jesus. It does not ask you to join anything. There is no request for money. There is not even an envelope or anything of the kind in here that even politely or subtly urges you to do anything of the kind. But it is very valuable information. It's right out of your Bible. I challenge you not to believe one word of it until you look it up in your own Bible and prove it to yourself. It's called The Real Jesus. It is free of charge and no price. Now, the other booklet is called Enoch and Elijah. Where are Enoch and Elijah? You've heard me say time and again, the Bible does not say anywhere that the reward of the saved is heaven. It says in the Old Testament that Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, and Christ in the New Testament said, no man has ascended to heaven. What is the answer? Where did Elijah go? What about Enoch? It says in the New Testament that he was translated. Now, what's that mean? How do you translate a human being? Well, this booklet will show you. There are a lot of questions that need to be answered. That's what we want to do, is make the Bible plain, make it simple, make it interesting, make it readable, help people to understand it. This booklet, Where Are Enoch and Elijah?, is absolutely free of charge. It answers a very important question for you out of your Bible. You'll see the answers there. You'll be given the scriptures. You can look it up, turn to it, underline it, mark it down, take notes on it. Prove it to yourself one way or the other. Remember the booklets then, Where Are Enoch and Elijah? Just mention the booklet on Enoch, and it's spelled E-N-O-C-H. Enoch or Elijah, both of them, whichever you want, we'll know what you mean. And also the booklet on The Real Jesus. All you need to do to receive this booklet is to give us the call letters of your station. We'd like that, if you would please. The call letters of your radio station. While you're at it, why don't you request the current number of The Plain Truth and find that there is a solution beyond human understanding. And we talk in The Plain Truth, plainly, even about Bible prophecy and about an ultimate solution beyond the acknowledgement of today's news media, because they simply do not acknowledge God or Bible prophecy. And that's what you will read in The Plain Truth. It is Plain Truth, straight from the shoulder, plain talk. I hope you'll write for it. We'll send it to you by return mail as soon as you dial that toll-free number, 800-423-4444. Or you can write to me, Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Garner Ted Armstrong, sponsored by the Worldwide Church of God. For literature offered on this program, send your requests along with the call letters of this station to Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. Or you may dial this toll-free number, 800-423-4444.